interesting thing is you can't take your alcohol outside and you can't take your cigarettes inside. So either where you've got both, there's something being violated there. So the two are going to have to be separated.
Haynes has 1 week to quit smoking in public places, and there's still a lot of work to do. And details on a classical music tour coming to Haynes and Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories just ahead. Within 1 week, Haynes Public Buildings will have to make a few changes to their appearances, or else break the new borough law. Last fall, voters passed a rule outlawing smoking in public places within borough limits. But it's not just smoking that'll be against the law. Those public places must add signs and remove ashtrays.
The interesting thing is you can't take your alcohol outside and you can't take your cigarettes inside. So either where you've got both, there's something being violated there.
Haynes Police Chief Gary Lowe's latest task is to enforce the new law. And to help business owners and building managers comply, he's leading 2 educational meetings this week.
The ordinance is going to affect everyone in town. An individual person, the way the ordinance affects them is they're not allowed to smoke in certain areas. More importantly, an owner or operator of a business, there's several more requirements on them. So just for people to know what their requirements are, probably is more important for a business owner or an operator to attend.
The ordinance now makes it illegal to puff tobacco in public places, private clubs, places of employment, some outdoor public places like the softball field, and in some vehicles. But it'll require action from more than just smokers, and changes in more buildings than just the bars.
There are ashtrays sitting out in front of the police station, which are going to have to be removed. And there's an ashtray in the lobby of the police station that's going to be removed. And another one for every business in town, you have to post a sign that no smoking is allowed on the premises.
The ordinance also affects private clubs and homes that are places of employment. After January 11th, only a percentage of motel rooms will be allowed designated for smoking.
There's maybe a half dozen different criteria involved for a business or an entity. One is if they're a place of employment. So it doesn't matter if it's a private club or a public entity. If they're a place of employment, they have to abide by the ordinance. A private club, specifically by ordinance, has to be smoke-free any time that they're open to a public event. So there's a couple of private clubs in town. The portions of those clubs that are served by a liquor license fall within this ordinance.
Tuesday at noon is the first scheduled meeting. It's at Assembly Chambers and will include a question and answer format about the new requirements.
I'm there to inform and to answer questions. As far as the signs in particular, there are no direct regulations to what the sign's supposed to say. Just something that's large enough to inform the public that there's no smoking on the premises. I'm going to print out just some 8x10 sheets of paper off my computer that says smoking's prohibited on these premises as by Haynesboro Code 818020. And that's what I intend on using, and I suggest to others that they can do something similar to that.
Chief Lowe will also review the sometimes perplexing particulars of the 7-page ordinance.
The biggest part is within 5 feet of a tavern, within 20 feet of any other business, or within 50 feet of a medical clinic. So you can't step right outside the door and smoke. You can be outside within a certain distance. There's other areas outside, say an outdoor arena, you can't smoke within the confines of the bleacher area. Any other place that's outside that the property owner, if they want to declare it smoke-free, then that also will be a smoke-free area.
Lowe says he'll cover commonly asked questions, such as who exactly needs to make certain changes before next Monday.
The portion of a private residence that a business is operated in, say, for example, if you have a daycare, and the portion of your residence that's used for the business is smoke-free, the ordinance doesn't affect where you live, just where you run your business at. One of the other exceptions is for a vehicle, if it is specifically designated to one person, then that business vehicle, if it's not, not used for taxi that, you're running citizens in and out of it, if it's one person drives that vehicle and it's assigned to him, then he can smoke in it, except for a borough vehicle, and all borough vehicles are non-smoking.
The first educational meeting is Tuesday, January 5th at noon in the Haines Assembly Chambers at the Public Safety Building. Haines is certainly not the first government to outlaw smoking in public places. Ahead of us were Whitehorse, Juneau, Anchorage, and before them were Armenia, India, Ireland, parts of Africa, and other parts of Asia, including Bhutan, the only country in the world that's banned smoking and the sale of tobacco. But as many former smokers know, quitting is not easy. And the same is expected when the Haines Borough gets off the nicotine next week. Chief Lowe is expecting some difficult side effects to withdrawal.
A lot of it's going to be up to the businesses to determine an area. Some places there's not going to be an area. Like on Main Street downtown, you're not going to be able to walk outside of one of the businesses and not be within 20 feet of another business. And that's going to be another thing that we have to address is the litter from where people choose to smoke at. If there's a parking lot adjacent to a business, and we'll just use a tavern, for example, because that distance is 5 feet. They can get into the parking lot or away from the building, 5 feet away. Then they can have a designated smoking area, but then they need to police their litter. You know, you can't just throw your butts on the ground and leave them.
The Haines Police Department will be responsible for enforcing the law, which passed 55% to 45% in last fall's municipal election.
It's my obligation to enforce this. I'm not saying that this is a good or a bad ordinance. The people of the community voted this in. It was passed by majority vote. It was, you know, given to the people for an election. They chose to pass it, so it's my obligations to enforce it.
But building managers and owners have an obligation to enforce the law, too, and will face increasing fines if they don't.
For an individual that chooses to smoke, they'll be subject to a fine of $100. For a business that violates any other section, like a business that doesn't post signs or doesn't remove their ashtray or allows people to smoke inside, the first offense, they will receive a written warning letter from the manager. And then after that, the fines will start at $100 and then move to $200 and then $300 for each additional violation.
But still, almost half of Haines voters chose to continue to allow smoking in public places. And as other local governments with newly enacted smoking bans have witnessed, a reaction from the voting minority is possible, but probably ineffective, says Lowe.
I'm sure that there will be people that want to argue this in the courts. And the way to do that is they may choose to violate it, which means that I'm going to have to enforce it just to get it to the courts. I understand that. There's nothing personal against me, nothing personal against them. If people choose to violate this, I have to follow through with what I'm obligated to do, which is to enforce it, and then we send it to the courts.
Lowe says he's quite sure the courts will uphold the ordinance since it's copied closely from Anchorage's no smoking regulation, a law that's already been tested in courts.
The entire non-smoking phenomenon has been tested across the country. The Supreme Court has decided communities can make themselves non-smoking and can enforce that. So it's legally sound and it's been tested in the courts. So there's no question in my mind that it is enforceable and it is going to be upheld when they do test it in the courts here.
If building and business owners and managers miss the first informational meeting at noon on Tuesday in the Public Safety Building, a repeat meeting is scheduled for Friday, January 8th at 5 p.m. in the Haines Assembly Chambers. Again, Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe.
I just want to encourage anyone that has any questions or is just curious about what the ordinance entails to either attend one of these meetings or give me a call in the office. If you want some specific questions answered, I'd be happy to do that.
Have another cigarette.
An all-star northern musical trio completes its Alaska tour in the Upper Lynn Canal. The Indigo Piano Trio plays Tuesday night in Haines and Thursday night in Skagway. Haines Arts Council's Tom Haywood.
This trio is made up of two Alaskans and one Canadian, and they're all young and successful classical musicians from the Yale University. We're very fortunate that they're able to make their way up the Lynn Canal before heading back to school.
The concert is also an occasion to inspire some of the musical youth in the area, says Haywood.
These three young people are going to also do an outreach program over at the school in the afternoon. They're going to perform for the middle schoolers and for the high school students and talk about their music and their experiences as classical musicians. So we're looking forward to getting their information spread around the community, and we hope that a lot of the young folks can come out to the show.
Jonathan Christ Tompkins is one of the performers, a cellist from Sitka.
We're aiming for an eclectic angle. So the first half of the program is really a recital-style concert. It's an assortment of short pieces and pieces of assorted genres. So we'll have traditional classical selections. We're playing the second movement of Bach's double violin concerto, and I'll be playing one of the violin parts. And then we'll also have some solo pieces. Jennifer will play a Rachmaninoff piano prelude, for example. And then we'll be doing, I guess you'd call it a folksy piece. It's this piece called Giulio. It's for cello solo. And we'll be also ending with this piece that's more gypsy / jazz / bluegrass, which features Matt, who's been a fiddle player as long as he's been a classical violinist.
The Indigo Piano Trio plays January 5th at 7 p.m. at the Chilcot Center for the Arts, and January 7th at 6:30 p.m. at the Skagway School. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.